Whiskey. Look at her banner.
It's beauty, bitch. Ah!
Warning, this show contains adult content, strong language, mature themes, discussions of sexuality, politics, triggers, and feminism. Listener discretion and or earphones are advised.
Good evening. Welcome to Bitch Splaining on 1-2 Radio. I am Kelly McLean, that bitch that splains things. And here we are. It is Thursday the 21st. Things are feeling a little lighter in the world. I'm pretty happy. Welcome. Thank you for being here. I have my friend and special guest, Katie Weaver. Just come on in here, lady.
I'm here. I'm just hanging.
Yep. This is going to be a real chill show because I have a house full of people and I didn't want to. Last week I had Smarty Pants Lisa and we talked all things Mary Magdalene, and it was a really great show, if I do say so myself. But it required a lot of research and I had to, you know, pretend I was smart and stuff. And this week I told Katie, hey, can you do the show with me on this date? Because I know that I'm not going to have a lot of bandwidth. And it's just so easy to do radio with you. So she said,
we have
yeah, sure.
A lot of fun. This is the first time, and I don't know how long that we've done a show together, that we aren't doing radio theater.
That's true. We haven't done like a regular show in a long time. True. I've been on the news a couple times. Mm-hmm. We do Read Me, where we have a very, you know, focused show.
Yeah.
We haven't done this in a long time. And I'm trying to remember how this topic came up. It came up last week on Read Me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember how we got there. And I'm like, we should totally do a show on this. And she's like, well, I'm on your show next week. I'm like, oh, yeah. So it's long been a, I don't know if the word passion is exactly accurate. This is a topic that is very important to me and has been for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I know this is going to make some people slightly uncomfortable. That's kind of my job around here, I think. You know, I've joked for a while that after I reclaim the word bitch, I have a long list of other words that I'm going to reclaim as well. Mm-hmm. And today's show is one of those.
Most definitely. Can we really quickly help people find the chat room?
Yeah, we should do that.
Thank you.
Go to 12radio.com. That's the number one, the number two. radio.com. Click on the left. There's a button that says chat. Click on that. You'll be redirected to Facebook. Alternately, you could just on Facebook search for the 1-2 Radio private group. And then the rest is pretty self-explanatory. You guys know how to do groups. I think you request to be added and la-di-da.
There you go. Thank
you. I have a black and yellow banner and you can chat with us there. Yeah, see, I got so wrapped up in the topic, I forgot to do the normal shit.
Uh-huh.
So
we got excited.
Yeah. So this topic has been so close to me for such a long time. I don't even know when it started, but pretty much forever. And it's not something that I can talk about with just anyone because people get super triggered and defensive and it turns ugly and judgy and... I don't even remember the conversation we were having on Read Me when it came up, but it was very organic. And I was like, okay, this is the time. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. So today we are fat splaining. We are taking back the word fat and we are going we're going to take the negative shit out of the word fat.
Yeah.
If
yes,
that's
we
possible
are.
In one show. I don't think we can do it in one show, but by God, we're going to blaze a trail.
That's right.
So well,
we are doing this. I love it. Before we do that, can I just steal a moment of time to help our listeners wish you a happy birthday?
Oh,
it was Kelly's birthday yesterday and you light up our lives here at 1-2 Radio and at 1-2 Listen. And we just want to give you the biggest happy birthday hug.
Thank you. That's sweet. I had a fabulous fucking birthday. I mean, it's really cool when like basically the whole world is looking forward to your birthday. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yesterday being inauguration day and it was such a great day. You know, everybody, well, okay, not everybody, about 50% of the United States and a large part of the rest of the world felt, you know, really positive and yeah. buoyant and hopeful and inspired and stuff that I really love and that I haven't felt in a long time. And, you know, Katy Perry sang to me and there was fireworks. Yes. it was great. No, it was
what
a really
an auspicious
good birthday.
Very. Yeah.
No, having Pat here was fantastic. And he brought me some flowers and we had tri-tip for dinner and it was delicious. And then my son has a girlfriend and she brought me flowers, but oh. not in like an, I know, not in like an ass kissy way. She is the sweetest girl. They're just so cute. So yeah, it was just a nice day.
Wonderful.
The cats didn't acknowledge me for shit, but you know, that's how that goes.
They're just like that.
They're such cat holes.
You're probably lucky that they didn't give you a good, you know, dig in the toilet and come jump on your face kind of happy birthday.
In case you missed that, I don't know if I actually shared it, but we talked about it. I have this video. I was laying in bed one morning and one of the cats is in the cat box in honor of the show. That's what you think of my show? Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I can hear scratching over there. Anyway, I'm laying in bed and I hear the sound of water and they like the water and I'm aware of this. They're goofy, but this was more than I normally hear. And so I got up and I turned on the video camera and there was Tommy just playing in the water. Like it was a creek and it was mm-hmm. just swish, 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 like splashing water everywhere. And then I got close enough and he shook his paws off all over me. It was, yeah, that's the day in the life.
Mm-hmm.
Toilet yeah. water and cat vomit. And it's very glam. Very, very glam around it here.
Is. It's very glam. Yeah.
It's hard to keep up with. So don't even try.
Well, I was just saying, I had a live stream for True Crime Paranormal right before this show. And I was talking about the glamorous life of living with pigs. And, the, you know, basically I live with two cranky toddlers who really never quit hassling with each other.
Uh-huh.
And lately it has been all about either who can stand over the heat vent, who gets to sleep where on the couch, who gets uh-huh. which blankie, and who, or in the chair they like to sleep in. We have a big armchair that they love that who gets to be in the back. They both want to be on the back. Mostly because they're so damn big that the other one is like hovering off the edge, you know?
Right, right.
But I took a picture, I'm going to share it in the chat, of the two of them piled on Scott's lap. Scott can't sit down anywhere that they don't funny. Bail on top of him mm-hmm. and insist on being loved and cuddled. And so there's a picture in the chat of Zigzag is on top and then Fiona's next to him. But yeah, poor Scott.
Oh my gosh.
He's trying to play Fortnite. Like literally with his elbow straight in the air to hold
on. Oh my gosh, that's cute.
You know, because they have to lay with Dad all the time.
Well, it's funny because, you know, we all listen to you guys on the news and Scott is, you know, laying down the law and the pigs and the rules and the kids and the there's a reason that the pigs are piling on Scott when he's
yeah
so I call bullshit.
Yeah, they're dad's kids for sure.
Someone's a sucker. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cute.
He was like, that's all I wanted to do was play some Fortnite and relax. And you can relax, but you're probably not playing Fortnite.
Yeah, you can do one or the other.
Yep. Not
that's funny. Yep. It's I love having animals. I never thought that I was going to be this much of a crazy cat person, but Pat came in earlier. I was just laying in bed watching TV. I'm not feeling super well, although that's not really the reason I was laying in bed. My bed is so comfortable. I have an adjustable bed, and so it's my jam. But I'm not feeling very well. I have like a sinus infection or an ear infection or I don't know what. He came in to check on me and there's cats all over the bed and he looked at me and he goes, points his finger at me. He goes, no more cats. Do you understand? Which is funny because all these cats are basically his fault. He's the one that wanted to feed Daisy and then Daisy snuck in and then we found out Daisy was pregnant and then Daisy would exploded with six kittens and the rest is history. So, yeah, I understand that whole laying down the law thing with the husband.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how well it actually works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we just sort of laugh in private or on the radio. anyway, so, okay, I don't even know where we should start with this. Body image has always been a subject that just sets me on fire in mm-hmm. some way or another. In high school, I was actually really skinny. I didn't think I was, because nobody does in high school. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that there's some sort of hormone that just makes you believe that you look a way you don't. But I had really muscular legs, and looking back, I mean, I should have posted some pictures, but I don't have any handy. I had these very muscular legs. I had danced for a lot of my childhood. My calves were really cut to the point that some of the football players would kind of rib me, but I specifically mm-hmm. remember a couple of the guys being like, "How do you get your calves like that?" And I didn't do any sort of like weight workout or anything. It was just, I'm like, I don't know. I hated my legs. So anybody asking me about them, of course, made me completely self-conscious. So even though they were, you know, saying something flattering in some way, high school boys are pretty stupid. It felt really to me. And then when I think probably this started in the dance studio for reasons you can imagine. Eating disorders are rampant in dance studios. I witnessed it firsthand from the time I was 10. And there was a weird phase where I actually had really long legs, where I was at that weird gangly stage that girls go through, mm-hmm. where I had hips earlier than all my friends, not much, but I had a little bit of a shape, but my legs were really long, which is not something I've ever had since then. It was a very small blip in my life, but I have this like thin, I don't know, awkward preteen body. And we would do these like 2 or 3 hour rehearsals on Sundays. And this was in the good old days. I'm dating myself a lot by describing this. Not that it matters, because I posted yesterday that my age is 48, but whatever. When we would do ballet, we'd be at the bar, and we adored this woman. And she passed away, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago. And we all just held her in the highest regard, and I still do, but this is funny. She weighed 90 pounds soaking wet. Sure. Her hip bones entered the room about 30 seconds before she did. So sure. She was just, you know, tried and true ballerina body, just lean and taut and hip bones sticking out. And she walked with her feet turned out, you know, like a duck, like dancers do. And so she had this, I guess it was a cane, you know, like ballet masters often have. And so she would tap out count sometimes. Other times she would whack us on the butt and tell us to, you know, stand up straight or whatever. Not hard. In her other hand, she had a long cigarette. And so uh-huh. here we are in the dance studio. And I used to do this impersonation of her with her hips jutted real forward, you know, and she's very thin and she's got her cane in one hand and her cigarette in the other hand. And she's, whenever she's hollering at us, the smoking. But anyway, I was exposed to all that dysfunction really early. And one rehearsal, I was probably all of 11 or 12. We were rehearsing something and it wasn't going to her liking. And she said, "You guys look like a bunch of dancing cows." And ouch. I was very bothered. I left the dance studio crying a lot, but it really mm-hmm. wasn't for those reasons. It was other stuff. To the point that my mom said, "Why am I paying all this money for you to cry all the time?" And so I took a long break and then I got back into dance in college. But yeah, "You guys look like a bunch of dancing cows." And I'm looking around at these girls, you know, some of them were 18, 23, 25, who I idolized. And they were perfection. You know, they were tall, they were thin, they were beautiful, they had muscles. There wasn't a cow in the room. And that stuck with me always. I have a terrible memory for things that happened. I like positive things that happened, I don't remember. I guess that's pretty typical. My friend Shannon remembers everything that I don't. But this thing stuck with me. And there's a couple other things that happened to me when I was a teenager. My mom's mom, who was a very toxic, alcoholic person, She was really mean to my mom. My mom had a terrible childhood. And when I was old enough to be a little bit of a sassy bitch, I was. So one time we had taken her out to lunch for her birthday, my grandma, and I was wearing these really cute cream colored pants. And this was at like the peak of my hotness in high school, probably. These cream colored pants and this cropped pink sweater. And my hair all curly and very late 80s or whatever. And grandma said, "Oh, honey, you shouldn't wear white." And I wasn't even offended. I was pissed. I was pissed. I never forgave her for saying that to me. And every once in a while, she would call the house and she would be drunk and belligerent. One time she called and she wanted to talk to my mom. And I said, "She's not here, Grandma. I'll tell her you called." And she was lit. She lit into me with some sort of bullshit. She was telling me off and she goes, "You're just like your mother." And I said, "Thanks. Bye." So I just, even from an early age, I just wasn't having this shit. I wasn't going to absorb this bullshit about what bodies are supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if my other grandmother was a really big gal. I don't know if it's genetics or if I sort of padded myself as an empath, which I know happens, or if it was just sort of like a fuck you to the world, you know, and I just put on weight. And I've really never had an issue with the way that I look. What has been the challenge is surrounding myself with other people who feel the same, or finding a partner who feels the same, which, you know, Pat's amazing. Where and when did this all start for you?
Oh, well, I've been thinking about
just
that.
A softball so question, Kate.
But part of it really started with my mom. My mom was heavy, mm-hmm. and always was overweight my whole life, and was very bitter about it.
Yeah,
and did everything she could, man, everything she could, including mm-hmm. weight loss surgery, everything yeah. she mm-hmm. could. And she'd lose some, she'd gain some. She just, it was just her body, mm-hmm. you know? And her bitterness about her weight, she was never ugly with
right.
us about our weight in right. any way. But her bitterness about her weight was apparent, you know? And it was something that bothered me. Like, we weren't allowed to play with Barbies when I was a kid mm-hmm. because she hated the stereotype of the super skinny, tall blonde.
Yeah.
You know, that was what you had to look like to be attractive. Mm-hmm. So we weren't allowed to have Barbies, which yeah. is fine. It's neither here nor there anymore, right. but you know, it was kind of the thing. But my grandpa used to always tell me that I looked so much like his mom, mm-hmm. which we would have thought was a compliment, but then he said things like that she was as wide as she was tall.
Oh, God.
She was a little teeny short lady that was really heavy. Well, guess what? So am I.
Right.
And, you know, and that used to really bother me. Mm-hmm. But at the time I was a skinny kid.
Right.
In junior high, I was a competitive gymnast.
Yep.
You know, up until my freshman year of high school. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I wasn't a heavy kid at all, but those things really, I think, were part of what kind of got to me. Mm-hmm. My mom's mom was very concerned about everyone's weight, way too concerned about
everyone's
weight. Sounds
familiar. Mm-hmm.
Right? And I can remember her pinching my butt and saying, "You're getting a fat butt," when I was like maybe 12.
Yep.
And oh my God, my mom was so mad at her for that. But mm-hmm. the other part of it, though, for me was that, you know, with all of that going on, just the world watching, you know, the world's mm-hmm. opinions about weight. And yeah, I know there's a lot that girls are up, but not just girls. It's yeah. not because,
yeah, no, guys,
boys,
go through
you. Oh my mm-hmm. goodness, they struggle horribly.
For sure. You know?
But so, yeah, I think it just kind of all stacks on top. This same grandma gave my younger sister two cans of Slim Fast for her birthday one year.
Oh my God.
I thought my dad would literally murder her for that.
Oh,
he
was my God.
So mad. Oh, he threw them away. He gave her money. He said, "Here, you take this and you can buy yourself a real birthday present, because that's not okay." It was awful.
That is awful.
That kind of shaming. And yeah. she wasn't heavy either. But I also remember one time in fifth grade, this one slayed me. I had a teacher in fifth grade. Her name was Dawn Inman. I loved her so much. Mm-hmm. She was young. She was single. She was cool. She was fun. You could walk past her apartment and she'd come out and say hi. She was great.
Yeah.
But she did something to me in fifth grade that I'm sure she wished she could take back.
Yeah.
I wish she could take it back. But she was talking about the skeletal system and about mm-hmm. how some people have very tiny, fine bones and some people are bigger boned. And she called several students up to the front of the class to point out, look, this, their bone structure looks like.
God.
I was the big boned girl.
Of course you were.
You know, and that absolutely destroyed me. I couldn't stop crying.
And how humiliating. Yeah.
Horrified. She was so embarrassed. She felt horrible about it. This was her first year of teaching.
Oh, God. Ooh.
I'm guessing she never did that again. But no. It stuck with me, man. It stuck with me.
Even it probably stuck with her,
college,
too.
Yeah. In college, and I had a birth defect in my stomach mm-hmm. that I had to have surgery the second I graduated from high school to fix it. Mm-hmm. And it made it so that I was on a liquid diet for quite a while, like 6 months into my first year of college. And I lost a ton of weight. I weighed about 120 pounds to begin with.
Yeah.
And then I lost 20 pounds. So starting college, I only weighed about 100 pounds. I was really small. And I got the flip side of it. I went to the student health center with an ear infection and had a 30-minute back and forth with the doctor in there because he was accusing me of being bulimic or anorexic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was neither of those things. And I was trying to explain to him that I had just had this surgery. I was barely off of a liquid diet. I had, mm-hmm. you know, had lost all of this weight and he just wouldn't stop. He wouldn't give me an antibiotic. Because he was so sure that my problem was that I was too thin.
That's so weird.
I was so mad and so mm-hmm. frustrated because he wouldn't listen. And finally, he looked in my ears and said, well, you do have an ear infection. Well, no shit. That's why I'm here. Sure. You know,
yeah.
But he made me promise to come and have a follow-up with him and show him that I could gain some weight. I didn't. My mom was so pissed when she heard about that, you know. But it was just... So then I hit the flip side of it. But even at 100 pounds, I had a teacher. I was in the home ec department. Mm-hmm. And this was a fashion class, a sewing class, mm-hmm. with this mean old hag that had no business. No mm-hmm. business, you know.
Yeah.
But she stood me up in front of the class and explained to them that I was a swayback. Because of the way I stand. Well, I have a lot of arch in my back. I was a competitive gymnast. That's mm-hmm. how you stand, you
That's
know?
Exactly, yeah. It's like the antithesis of ballet.
Yes.
In that way. Like, tuck that thing under. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's just always, that was the posture I had. Mm-hmm. And that I was a sway back. And that this is how you stand correctly. And again, humiliated over my body.
So bizarre.
It's crazy to me how often we do this to people without really thinking at all. About their feelings or how things like that could stick with them. That was when I was 20. I am 43. I still don't like her.
Exactly. You know? Mm-hmm. Well, I went to, so then, okay, where are we now? We're in my 20s. Mm-hmm. That was when I was probably the most comfortable. I had some boobs. Like I was pretty flat chested, but I had hips in high school. Mm-hmm. So I always felt really, I wasn't flat chested, but it was imbalanced. I was definitely a pear, but I was a lean pear. And then in my 20s, things evened out a little bit. And I was teaching dance. And I was very sensitive about this with my own dancers. My first mm-hmm. class was a group of girls that were like 10 to 13. And they were all different sizes. And we had the little, you know, the shorter round girl. We had the tall, awkward Bambi girl. We had everything in between. And I was very sensitive about it, as well as being able to pick up on some of their other unhealthy things that I just had the radar for it because junior mm-hmm. high for me was so awful and it had zero to do with my body and just everything to do with being bullied for no reason. But mm-hmm. I could zero in on somebody going through a weird thing. And so we would do all these warm-up exercises. I think this is when it became sort of a passion for me, especially with younger girls. And one of the exercises we did a lot of back and forth stuff and we did these splits across the floor. And so you like go into a split and you bring your back leg around and your front leg forward and you switch legs and you kind of crawl across the floor in the splits. So the girls are doing it and most of them don't have a flat split. They had had maybe one other dance class. They hadn't taken ballet. Their technique was very mostly non-existent. So this was kind of a beginner's class. So they were working on their splits, not really doing them. We had one girl who'd been in ballet and one of my girls who was a little stockier and definitely a little rounder starts kind of kvetching about how Shelby can do it because Shelby's skinny. And mm-hmm. I still was not real overweight at that point. Mm-hmm. And I said, "If this has nothing to do with Shelby's size, weight, non-weight, this has to do with practice and flexibility." And mm-hmm. I dropped into the split and I was, you know, they thought I was an old lady, but I was probably 23 years old.
Yeah.
I dropped into the splits and that girl's mouth hit the floor. And I said, "If I can do it, you can do it." And mm-hmm. she never questioned me again. They got me like flowers and stuff at the recital. And that particular dancer gave me this card that I still have somewhere telling me what an impact I'd made on her for a number of reasons. And that's kind of when nice. It became a thing for me. Like,
yeah,
girls are suffering so much trying to become something that isn't even real. And by that, I mean magazines, which are not even really a thing anymore. They're still out there, but it's Instagram now. Mm-hmm. You know, their Instagram is our 17 magazine. Because the images are so altered and so unreal. They're not real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with photo filters and all sorts of body image issues, not just weight mm-hmm. issues. You know, really thin women get it just as bad. And I follow a lot of dancers on Instagram and some of them are very young and very skinny. And inevitably in the comments, you'll get people that are, you know, concerned about their health and whatever. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to comment about it because some of these girls, it's real obvious that they're not healthy, but they always come back with, "I'm on a healthy diet and I'm just naturally thin." And some are.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, you really shouldn't have to defend what your body looks like. I mean, there's always going to be people that have struggles and eating disorders, and there's always going to be a wide variety, I hope, of body shapes and sizes. And you shouldn't mm-hmm. have to defend what that is to a bunch of fucking strangers in the comment section.
Right.
Where all the experts live, of course. Mm-hmm. So one of the experiences I had as an adult, probably also in my 20s, I was having some weird, like one of my fingers was numb and I would go to like pull my jeans on. This was back when I wore pants, cause I don't anymore. it just was more utilitarian in my early 20s to wear jeans because I was doing things that dresses didn't really work for. But once I became like a full-fledged adult, the jeans went out the window. Anyway, I was pulling on my jeans and you know how you hook your finger through the loop and you pull them up.
Yeah.
Well, my hand came flying off the jeans and I whacked myself in the head because my finger was so weak. And I don't, to this day, I'm not really sure what it was. I think it was an antibiotic reaction. But anyway, it lasted for a while. I couldn't spray my hairspray. Like this one finger was just jacked up. So my dad went with me, I think because he knew the doctor. Otherwise, I have no idea why my dad went with me. That was a really weird visit. So I walked into the doctor's office and he was a neurologist back when you could see a specialist without getting an act of Congress passed.
Yes.
When we walked in, I checked in and there was this sign. Okay. So I graduated from college and the first thing I did was join the AIDS Foundation. And I've told that story before about, you know, all the people I met and the friends that I lost to AIDS. And that's one of my things. And so I'm in that same era. At the front desk, they have this sign up on the wall that said something about how the elderly population is one of the biggest spreaders of AIDS and, you know, take precautions or something. I was so fucking offended. I was so grossed out. First of all, why is this a sign on the wall where everyone can see it? Second of all, what the fuck are you even talking about?
Right.
Oh my God. So this didn't start out well. Then the doctor is asking me all these questions about my health and what I do and, you know, what's my lifestyle. And I'm like, well, I teach dance and I work and I'm 23 years old. I never sat still. The doctor said, Well, your life is too sedentary. You should probably lose some weight and this will go away.
Oh, my God.
There was no weight to lose, I promise you. Mm-hmm. And my dad was just, like, he was just a dad, you know, and mm-hmm. he was old school. And he was like, okay, thanks, doctor. It never even occurred to him. It was, and I mm-hmm. flipped out in the car on the way home. And my poor dad, mm-hmm. he had such a fireball in me. And he was such a Libra. He was an Aquarius, but he had a Libra rising, I think. Mm-hmm. hated conflict, you know, and so he was always uncomfortable when I'd get all fired up, which was always. And I was just going on and on about it. And oh my God, it pissed me off. And I know I don't have to tell you how frustrating it is to go to mm-hmm. the doctor for something that is unrelated to your fucking weight mm-hmm. and they blame it on your weight. Yeah. And it happens all the time. It's been happening to me since before I was heavy. Yeah. This one, the neurologist guy, I was 23. I probably fell outside of the perfect column on the stupid weight chart, mm-hmm. but I had my whole life because I was, you know, curvy and I had muscles on my legs and I was not heavy. There was no reason for that man to point that out, say that.
And so then it leads you to wonder, did he just really not know what was wrong with you? So it was just easier to take a stab at you?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Then in my 30s, I went to an allergist who said, well, you know, you probably could lose a little weight. And I don't know, just be happy that the antihistamines work. Because I had chronic hives, mm-hmm. Which now I actually know what they were from. But anyway, all these years later. Just be happy that you can take that pill. And I'm like, not an answer. What the fuck? Yeah. So yeah. Frustrations with the medical field it's one of my number one hot buttons. Me too. Like, and I've had a few good doctors where, you know, it comes up and they'll go, well, you know, you're overweight. I'm like, yes. However, that has nothing to do with my sinus infection or whatever it is. And she goes, I realize that, you know, and then there's others who will just argue with you about it always. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, you're never going to see me again. So why don't you just write me that fucking prescription and here's my middle finger and bye. I just have no tolerance for that shit.
Mm-hmm. No, me neither. But it took me a long time, long time. When I was in my 20s, and again, I didn't ever start gaining weight until, well, when I went on birth control right before I got married. Same. And then, you know, I had doctors that were like, that's impossible. Birth control does not make you gain weight.
Oh my God. They all said that to me too. Yeah.
But it did. It
made me hungry like a fucking teenage boy, mm-hmm. for one thing.
Yes.
But when I went off the pill, I was eating. I was like, oh, I'm full. Oh, that's what that feels like.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But well, then I got in a car accident on my honeymoon. We were in Los Angeles. And remember, we're two like country Idaho kids.
Yeah.
And we got in a car accident on a freeway in LA.
Oh my God.
So scary. It wasn't our fault. The traffic in front of us slowed down really fast and this car didn't and hit us. But once we got home from that, my body just tailspinned into this chronic pain place that made no sense. And my whole first year of marriage, I was going through all of these batteries of tests of what is wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And they thought it was MS and then it wasn't. They thought it was lupus and then it wasn't. And, you know, finally, after a year, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. And they put me on steroids and sleeping medication and muscle relaxers. And my pain got better for a while. But I started gaining weight. I was just gaining weight and couldn't do anything about it. Like, it was just happening, you know? Mm-hmm. And my body was so weak and sick. And anyway, that's kind of where it started for me.
Right.
And then eventually, you know, I started having my kids. Well, when I was pregnant with Micah, my first baby, I had a rough pregnancy with him.
Yeah.
And I ended up with gestational diabetes.
Yeah.
So 7 months pregnant, I have gestational diabetes. They put me in the hospital for a day to help me get regulated on insulin shots. Mm-hmm. And so we're in the middle of doing that. Now, recognize I have a degree in home economics education.
Right.
I have lots of nutrition classes under my belt. It's not that I don't know what you're supposed to eat.
Right.
But that wasn't working for me, you know. So in Bebop's my room, And I am so miserable. You know,
right.
I'm 7 months pregnant. I am now diabetic. I'm having to
feel
take
like
shots.
Shit. Mm-hmm.
Feel like shit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Blood pressure is just creeping up every day. Like, this is really not going well, you know?
Yeah.
So this little young, cute, tiny dietitian dances into my room. You know, we're going to help you do this and that. We're going to give you some, you know, nutritional counseling. Okay, great. You know,
sure,
yes, I need to know what I'm supposed to eat. Not though I did know, you know, mm-hmm. because I had an education in it myself, but she hands me a height and weight chart. Again, 7.5 months pregnant.
Sweet Jesus.
She says, you really need to find where you're at on this and work at trying to get closer to that weight. And I was mad, like inordinately mad,
a
madder than
woman,
I really
no less. That's
needed
insane.
To be. And I threw it back at her.
Yeah, good for you. Good.
And I said, no. I said, look at me. I said, I'm pregnant and just getting more pregnant by the day. I'm not looking at your height and weight chart right now.
Right. Good for
and
you.
She was like, yes, but ma'am. And I looked at her and I said, no. I said, I'm not looking at it. I'm not finding where I should be. I can be, believe it or not, I can be quite rude if I want to be.
No.
And I usually don't want to be, but oh my God, that made me mad. Anyway, she finally left it on the side table and said, well, I'll leave it here in case you want it. And I said,
roll it up,
I
and
don't.
Shove it up your ass sideways. Yeah.
So she's just lucky that, you know, none of my mm-hmm. family members were in the room when she pulled mm-hmm. that, because it could have gotten even uglier.
Right.
I was so mad to her. I was so mad. Anyway, so there was, but throughout, you know, after I had that, I had three babies in 3 years, you know,
yeah,
and so, you know, I gained weight, I lost weight, I gained weight, I lost weight. I was breastfeeding everyone, you know, I mean, I have,
yeah,
I did a lot real fast. And
yeah, that's a lot on your body.
Yeah. But I kept getting sicker. The stuff they did for me for, fibromyalgia only helped for a while and then it didn't. And so now I have these three little kids and I don't feel good most of the time.
Yeah, that's so
you know,
hard.
And I'm working full time from home. I had a home daycare and, you know, my kids and I'm, you know, I'm still living my life, of course, but I don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep going back to the same doctor, the doctor that had been my doctor since I was a kid. And I was mostly seeing his PA at that point, but it was always about weight. Every time I went in,
mm-hmm.
I don't feel good. This hurts. My stomach was a wreck. And it was always about weight. So then I just didn't go to the doctor for a mm-hmm. long time, like 8 years, did mm-hmm. not go to the doctor. If it was, you know, I would treat everything with natural stuff. And I got
right.
really, really good at it because I truly didn't believe there was any answers for me in the medical.
Right.
And, you know, but finally, I just, when I was about 32, I finally went, I can't keep going like this. Maybe I was a little older, closer to 35. I can't keep going like this. I am in so much pain. I can hardly function. I'm so tired. I can hardly get out of bed. You know, went back to that same doctor because I'm a slow learner. And again, all he could give me, I said, I want labs. I want everything. I want to know why I feel so horrible all the time. And that's all I could freaking get out of him was, well, you've just got to lose weight. We've just got to get this weight off of you. You've just got to lose weight. And I said to him, my dad has rheumatoid arthritis, and I really wonder if I do as well.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're just fat. I mean, that was his whole answer.
Lovely.
So I left there in tears and mm-hmm. so frustrated. And I talked to Christy about it, and she said, you know, I just started with this new nurse practitioner. She's really nice. I think you'd really like her. Why don't you give her a try? So I go try this doctor, and her name was Lynn, and she was fat, and I was so excited.
Right, because, isn't that great?
And I said to her, I know that a lot of my health issues are probably my weight. And she looked at me like I was stupid, and she goes, no.
God
she
bless
said,
her.
You have something wrong with you. She said, this has nothing to do with your weight.
Right.
So she does this insane panel of tests. Like, she tested me for everything under the freaking sun.
Yeah.
My gallbladder was shot.
Yeah.
I have rheumatoid arthritis. And I had a tumor in my thyroid that was causing all of this weight gain and all of these problems.
Right.
And it took time to iron this all out, you know, but if I was still seeing that fool, it would still be just because I was fat.
I know.
I've never been more pissed off and relieved all in the same moment, you know? And of course, now I would never accept a doctor and an opinion that I didn't resonate with, of course. But that taught me a huge lesson. And I told her, I said, you know, I said, every doctor I've ever seen has blamed every, you know, the things that are going on in my body on weight. And she just rolled her eyes and she said, why do you think I'm a nurse practitioner?
You know, I had a very similar experience not that long ago. I was like a gynecological visit or something. And she came in and same thing. I was so relieved that she looked a little bit more like me. And she did the same thing. She was like, I can't remember what I said, but you know, I made some comment similar to what you said. And she's like, girl, these people. And she was just, there's a few out there that get it, that there's so much more to a human being than a number. And, you know, my blood pressure is textbook. My blood sugar is great.
Oh, mine too.
Yeah. Like all my numbers are fantastic, except the one on the scale apparently, but it doesn't bother me. It only bothers other people, which is why I'm doing the show, because I know that there are other women out there who, but for the influence of society, would actually feel so good about themselves if they were given permission to do that. And that's kind of what I want to get at here. Like, I marvel at the human body. You know, having babies, Pat went and had a hearing test for the VA, and, you know, he was telling me about his ears, and that's fascinating. Never mind the brain. Like, there's so much marvelous machinery that goes on in the human body. And, you know, I could wax poetic and religious about it. It's just, it's amazing to me what all is happening in this body. Does it do all the things that I want it to do? No, especially not lately. But this body carries us through life. And if you spend your whole life hating the vehicle that you've been given, how the fuck are you going to get done any of the missions that you have been given or that you chose when you incarnated? You can't hate it and expect it to work well for you. It's like money. You can't hate money and expect money to show up in your life. You can't resent rich people all the time and expect yourself to become rich.
Right.
You cannot hate your body and expect it to work well for you.
Yeah.
And it just kills me all the time when I hear women criticize themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been.
Yeah, but we've been so ingrained to do it. Mm-hmm. If you are overweight. Oh, from birth. The world expects you to be trying to do something about it.
Right.
That's one that always I think is very interesting. And, you know, that if you're fat, that's not good. But if you're fat and trying to lose weight, we'll accept that answer as long as you're trying. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That is the only acceptable way that you can be overweight in this culture in general. Now, I don't mean that as for everyone, but I will also say that when you're overweight, you are a target for other people's opinions and their MLMs. I can't tell you how many people have sent me, hey, just so you know, I just joined this company and I'm doing blah, blah, blah. And I just thought you might be interested. And I always want to be like, why? Because I'm fat.
Right. I know.
But it is why, you know, and I wonder if they send messages like that to, you know, a bald guy and say, oh, I just joined this company. I just thought you might be interested in as baldness. No, they don't, because they know that would be rude, but fat's not off the table.
No. And, you know, I also want to say, like, if you struggle with your physical health and, you know, your weight is an issue and it's something that you want to work on. Okay. Right. But if you don't feel like it's a problem and you feel pretty good, you do you, girl. Like, I've been following this girl on Instagram who I can't think of her name, but she has 2 or 3 kids from her first marriage, and they got married a couple years ago, and they had, I don't know if it was an oops baby, but, and she's a gorgeous woman. who's, you know, an Instagram influencer, and I don't know what all she's done. I just started following her. So she was, you know, posting her pregnant body and its stretch marks, and she's just so adamant about body acceptance and health at every size and all of that. And she's been posting her postpartum body, postnatal is what they say in the UK, and it makes so much more sense. Her postnatal body, you know, it's all squishy and it hasn't gone down all the way. The baby's like 3 days old. And this woman's posting her mostly naked body on the internet. And I'm like, fuck yes. Thank you. Because after you've had a baby, the last thing that you need to do is impose a bunch of rules and restrictions on your body, which created an organ to sustain another human being's life. And then you push both of those things out of a hole that's the size of a walnut? I don't know.
I mean, grapefruit? Yeah.
It's what the hell? That let it heal. Recovery after you have a baby, it takes a lot longer than society would have you believe. And I've had friends that have had C-sections, and a couple days later they're bopping around. I'm like, what is wrong with you? I don't know how you're doing it. I didn't have complex births, and I just like hunkered down and hibernated for weeks. Mm-hmm. I couldn't, you know, get my shit together enough to get out of the house, let alone like have the energy. So everybody's different, but like, you don't need to put all this pressure on your, particularly your postnatal body, to like snap back into shape. You aren't, you know, superstar McGillicuddy who has $1 million to throw at a trainer, but it pisses me off that they do that too, because they set this expectation mm-hmm. for the rest of us. Like, I don't know, like a couple hours after you squirt a human out of your body, you're supposed to fit back into your jeans, which is absurd and disgusting.
And the truth is, you may never fit back into those jeans.
And you need to be okay with that.
Yeah.
And if you're not, ask yourself why. Because is it you, or is it what other people are telling you you should feel, which is more often the case?
Yeah.
Because if I could stand all of our listeners in a room naked, not that they'd want to do this, I could have no problem looking at every single one of these women and saying, you are an amazing goddess. Look at you. If you could find a way to do that for yourself in the mirror, girl, you are on a journey. It is, mm-hmm. it's hard for most women, but I would really challenge you to learn how to just appreciate what your body does for you. Even the things that it doesn't do, you know, accept it. And to the extent that you can, I realize that some bodies are, you know, significantly limited, but it's still doing stuff for you. You know, I don't want to be tone deaf about people who have disabilities, and, you know, I don't want to be grateful for my, you know, that's okay. That's you. That's a separate topic. But when it comes to weight, man, if you could just, I don't know, if everybody could see themselves the way I see them, it would be so great, because I mm-hmm. see everybody as beautiful.
Yeah.
All bodies, you know, squishy, tight. I love bodies. That's what it says on my Instagram, you know, header. I'm a lover of bodies. I think they're amazing, all of them. And I wish that more people could figure it out. I feel like there was another aspect to this that I wanted to touch on, and I can't remember what it was. What are we forgetting? Well, let's go back to where we started with the word fat. So it's used like bitch to shame you and to shut you down and shut you up and make you mm-hmm. feel like shit. And, you know, sometimes there's just not another word, you know, you're like, I'm fat. Like, if you love yourself and you're not saying mm-hmm. it to demean yourself, it's a word. It's a mm-hmm. word that describes me the same way as redhead and crazy and, you know, mm-hmm. whatever
but
else I am.
It does make people uncomfortable.
Oh, it's such a hot button.
Mm-hmm. Even like with my kids, if I say something about being fat, which honestly, I can say it, I know it's true. I'm fine with it. Right. That's just the reality of the body that I have, and the body that I have that doesn't have a thyroid and that has the issues it does. It's going to be a fat body.
Right.
It's just going to be, and that's okay. But, you know, yeah, that's the thing for me, is people have decided that if you're fat, then that's a word that people throw around to try to offend and insult, which mm-hmm. I think is kind of hilarious, because when was the last time you looked at somebody in there and, you know, as an insult and said, you have green eyes.
Right?
Right? You'd be like, yeah, what of it? You know,
why is it five? Yeah.
Yeah. When Christy and I started doing True Crime Paranormal, we started drawing out some trolls that would leave, like, you know, hateful comments, like, you know, that we needed to lay off the cheeseburgers or whatever, you know. And I always just thought, isn't it interesting? Like, they don't really have anything to say about our content, about the actual work we're doing, but they think it's completely okay, for one, and make some kind of a mark, call us fat. Well, I mean, the last laugh is on them because, you know, all we have to do is ban them and they can't ever see our shit again and make a comment. And that is what we do, because who needs that?
Right.
But B, what makes you think that calling someone fat who is fat is actually that big of an insult?
Right.
That's just stating the truth.
Right. Yeah, it is definitely a word that I would say it ranks up there with bitch. I think that people have warmed up a lot to bitch because, you know, it's on TV and in, you know, American vernacular, you'd be like, hey, bitch, this is my bitches, you know, and
yeah.
I said something about my bitches in front of Cliff a few weeks ago. And he was like, yeah, you can't say that. I'm like, no, I can, you can't.
learn who can say it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the whole thing. It's just like, you know, he has a lot of friends that are Black. And he's like, well, you know, I got the N-word card. I'm like, and you will never, ever use it. I don't care if Jesus, Black Jesus himself came down and gave you the N-word card.
Happening.
You will never use it, or you will go meet Black Jesus yourself by my hand. So he's like, I know, Mom. But
do you though?
Yeah, right. No, he does. He's a good kid. So, but fat is up there. And so I just, you know, it's interesting. My own journey is interesting because I felt fine about myself for a very long time. And I think that even that makes people uncomfortable. Sometimes people are more comfortable around people that are insecure sometimes. And I have wanted to do this show for a long time. I believe I'm on year 5 now with 1-2 Radio. Mm-hmm. And this topic has come up many times, but it's been danced around or, you know, I tried to have the conversation with the wrong person. And, I know what the other thing was we were going to talk, or I was going to talk about, was intuitive eating, but that's like a whole other thing.
Mm-hmm.
What we were going to talk about is how pervasive diet culture is.
Yes.
And how things that even disguise themselves as healthy are really diet culture in disguise. So if I could be so bold as to give everyone who's listening homework, be on the lookout for diet culture disguised as health, because diet culture is everywhere. I had this conversation with Mandy in the car. I can't remember. She saw some ad for some stupid product. And it wasn't like she was interested. It was like she was, I don't remember the conversation, of course. I never remember anything, but it's true. It started this conversation and, you know, I told her, you know, diet culture is everywhere. Everywhere you turn, there's a product that wants you to change your body. And I'm here to tell you the same thing that I told my dancers, which is what I just said to all the listeners. Like, my dancers didn't line up naked, but I did make them line up in front of the mirror one time. And these were my dancers that were in their 20s that would stand there and obsess about their butts and their thighs and everything. And I said, okay, enough of this, like, posing and picking at yourselves. Everybody stand in front of the mirror and look at yourself. And I am looking at you. You are perfect the way you are. Perfect. And I said that to Mandy. And I said, you are absolutely perfect, exactly the way you are. And you will be absolutely perfect 10 years from now, exactly the way you are then. Reject anything that is diet culture in disguise, because it is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm like a newborn, like a new born again Christian telling people to shun rock and roll. But I mean, that's how passionate I feel about this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we only have like a minute left. Do you have any parting words of wisdom?
Well, I do like the, you know, the conversation about intuitive eating, and I know we can't really do it tonight.
Yeah.
But finding the things that work for your body.
Listening to your body.
That work for your body. You know, and I do something extreme. I've been keto for 3 years. Mm-hmm. I haven't lost much weight doing it. But I feel good. I've brought mm-hmm. my inflammation labs into range for the first time in my adult life.
Yeah.
And so I continue to do it because I've just realized that what my body really is very allergic to sugar and to wheat.
Yeah.
And when I treat that, I do better. It didn't make me lose weight. Not really. But for a minute it did. But honestly, I just want to feel good. And I think that at the end of the day, I guess that's the real conversation is if you feel good,
allow yourself to feel good. Yeah.
Allow yourself to feel good and quit making yourself feel like you have to apologize for your weight or prove to someone else or to perfect strangers or the world that you know you suck at this and you're trying. You don't have to do that. You don't suck at this. You get to be comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah. And, you know, diet culture also is very, very, how shall I say, this is a charged topic to go out on. It's very racist.
Yes.
To be thin and pretty and white is mm-hmm. preferable to being, you know, thick and voluptuous and black. And that is built into our culture. And mm-hmm.
Barbie.
You know,
yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Diet culture is divisive in 100 different ways. So mm-hmm. just really look at what you are taking in on the internet and in social media, because you're beautiful. You're perfect just the way you are. And I truly mean that. And this probably should be another show altogether to talk about just intuitive eating and listening mm-hmm. to your body. And, you know, sometimes I want broccoli and sometimes I want a bowl of pasta, and that's okay with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to thank you. You know, the 5 years that I've been here, you have been such an amazing support and a great friend. And it's so cool that I got to finally have this conversation. And so thank you, because
you're so
it's
welcome.
Not an easy one to have.
No, it's
but
not.
But it's easy with you. So thank you
very much. Well, thank you. It's been thought provoking for me too. I think it's been good for others as well. So yeah, thank you. And thanks for hosting me. It's been great to be here.
Yeah. Well, we'll do another one soon. So
you bet.
Well, guys, that's it. We rambled for 55 minutes and now I'm going to go have a glass of wine. So thank you so much. Thanks, Katie. Thanks, Chris. Thank you guys for listening. Love yourselves. And I will be back to yell more positive affirmations at you
yes.
next week. Have a great one.
Bye, guys.
Bye.